Hi, and welcome to the View Church Tableview Podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives.
So today, with the I Will series, I want to look at four things that stop us from actually filling out that card. Four things that stop us from having a standing and saying, I will do these things. And the first thing I want to look at is the potential risk. A lot of us go, well, there's a potential risk when we are going to step out, when we're going to live our life on purpose. And in Ecclesiastes 10, 8 and 9 says, whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. And whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. And of course, what you see is you dig a pit, you break through a wall. And that would be talking about a farmer who's had a wall in his property for years and years. And snakes have made a way into that wall. They found a hole to sleep in. So all these things may happen to you. And Solomon writes about the potential risks in doing something new. In Ecclesiastes 11, 2 to 10, it says, invest in seven ventures. Yes, in eight. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. So we see him again talking about the risk. But what's interesting about this is he says you need to make sure your investment is broad. Don't just invest into one or two portfolios. You need to make sure that you're wise in your investment, because if something's not going well, the other one can go well. And that's a business thought as well. What we get encouraged to do. So sow your seed in seven ventures, invest or in eight, because you don't know what disaster could come on one of them. And of course, it goes on to say in verse 3, if clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Thank you, Jesus. That's what's happening today. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God and the maker of all things. So we see Solomon shows us that there is risk. We don't know how everything works. But if we always look at the conditions of this life, the wind and the waves, we look at the rain, and we will never end up doing anything. We'll always say there's a risk. We'll say conditions aren't working out. But what Solomon encourages us to do is we need to take a risk and we need to be wise. Now, when I grew up, me and my friends used to dig holes on the beach. I don't know if you guys ever done that. You dig a hole in the sand and then you sit there and you greet everyone who walks past. And then they look at you and they fall into the hole and then everyone laughs and claps. Hey, I don't know if you have been a victim of that, but I just want to apologize publicly. I never knew Jesus that well at that point. But if you have dug a hole in your garden, don't go out there tonight and in the dark and walk into the hole. That's all Solomon's saying. Yes, there's a risk, but it doesn't mean you don't dig a hole if you are about to do something good. It doesn't mean you don't knock the old wall down to build a new wall. You're aware there could be a snake in the wall. A lot of us live this life where we go, you know, this could happen, this could go wrong. But Solomon's encouraging us, you need to be moving forward. Don't let the risk stop you from reaching your destiny. Don't let the conditions stop you from sowing. You know what I find is we need to keep our eyes on the reward. We've just launched a 12 to 24 month kids room. So our kids church now, from 12 months, you can be in kids church. Of course, we've got three rooms. We've got 0 to 6, and then we've got 6 to 12, and then we've got a family worship room as well. All of them have live links. And then we've got two more rooms now for 12 to 24, and then we've got from 24 up. So we're congested when it comes to our kids. That's where we're growing the most. Our kids and our teens right now are flourishing. But because they're flourishing, there's an opportunity there. So because there's an opportunity there, I started walking around with eyes of opportunity, not with eyes of risk. And so I was walking around the facility saying, God, show me where the opportunity is. And then I just thought, we're going to use these rooms for our 12 to 24 month room. And we're going to strategize on how we're going to do our salvation. We're going to change it up. We're going to connect with people differently. But I had to settle on the fact that there was opportunity. I had to settle on the fact that there was a great reward when we start to attend to what God's already doing, what God is blessing. And I want to encourage you, yes, there will be risk. Yes, things could happen. Yes, it might rain. Yes, you might get wet parking a bit further away from the church. But there is such a great opportunity if somebody new parks close to the church and they get saved. You know, sometimes we can tell every reason why we shouldn't do something. I can't get you early. I can't serve this year. I can't give. And because these are the risks. But what about the opportunities? You know what I mean? You will stop living if you only live because there's risk. And we're living in a world that's so aware of risk. When I was in Australia a few years ago, it's like everyone had hand sanitizer. They just like were holding it. Like, you know? And then somebody might have walked past them and they just put, I think that person might have just touched me. You know, we're so aware. And listen, my wife's a doctor, so I'm very aware of all the germs. You know what I mean? And so I get told, yeah, wash your hands like every 5 seconds. I don't mind. But the deal is, I'd rather risk it by greeting people than not greeting people. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm so much cleaner. I didn't greet anyone today. What's the point? Come on. We've got a hello for people. We've got a smile on our face. We can use it for kingdom purpose. We can use it to see people say, let's take a risk. Let's live life on purpose. There is great reward. Let's not look at all the things that could get in the way. Let's say, I will do something. I will have a well done when I get to heaven. You know what I need to do to overcome the risk? I stay in worship. I find in worship, I want to do some crazy risky things. You know why? Because I get wisdom from the word, and then I get strategy and wisdom, and then in worship, my faith rises. And then I step out and I'm bold. Like I always joke around. When I worship, I want to do crazy things. Next thing you know, I'm falling in love with Jesus more and more. Then I just want to give stuff away. I want to give my car away. I want to give this away. And then I have to go, bring yourself back to yourself. I'm ready. Anyway, you know what I mean? Like, don't get so faithful now because that's risky. That's risky giving it all for the kingdom. That's risky signing up to serve. That's risky showing up. You know what? You could catch a cold. I mean, you know what I mean? Like you start to think of all these stupid reasons why you shouldn't risk it. But I find if I get to that place, worship releases me to carry on risking it all for the kingdom. Because in worship, I find God speaks. He takes his big dreams and he pushes it inside the small body of mine. And he takes eternal thoughts and he puts it into this temporary head of mine. And he starts to talk about eternity. He starts to show me kingdom purpose. He starts to say there's an opportunity for 12 to 24 month room. He starts to say we can build this church. He starts to say to me, there's a health center, Andre. He starts to say to me, we can change a whole community. We can change a generation. And he starts to speak to me about these big things. And then all of a sudden, I start taking risks. I promise you, being here 18 years later, there were times where I thought, where's this going to? Being full-time in ministry. Then I thought, even if it comes to nothing, I want to risk it all. I want to risk my life for the kingdom. I want to serve God no matter what. And you know where that came? In place of worship. I promise you, it didn't come in places of just having coffee, you know what I mean? And just going, you know, I've just thought about it. I've done the maths and I saw the snakes. No, it was in worship where I made big decisions and said, I will do this for the kingdom. Listen here, you can be all prim and proper and make great decisions in life, but they'll have no risk that are kingdom risks if it's not in worship, if it's not in God's presence. The second reason people don't have an I will and don't take risks is they feel like they're working hard for nothing. Who's ever felt like you've worked hard for no reason? Like, you know, what has this come to? I've worked, my fingers to the bone. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 10 says, using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. Using a dull axe requires great strength, but so sharpen the blade. I think it might be on the next one there. You guys had it, if it would have jumped to the Ecclesiastes 10 verse 10. But this is the value of wisdom. Okay, they don't have it there. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 10. So here's the thing. How do you sharpen your blade? Because this scripture is not saying effort is not required. Effort is required. If you are going to have an I will on your life, there's going to be energy required. But God's encouraging us and Solomon's encouraging us. Our effort should have a sharpness. How do you stay sharp in this life? Sharpness comes from God's word. Wisdom is God's word applied. Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. If you want to have a sharpness to your life and have an I will attitude, you need to have the word in your life, because that's what creates your sharpness. Even as you go to work, the word, you'll remember scripture and God will give you direction. You'll know how to apply it and your work will be more effective. But if you're just working hard, but you haven't got the word of God in your life, there'll be a dullness to your life. You'll start to feel like you're going on a merry-go-round. You don't feel like God's given you those ideas. You don't feel like you have these light bulb moments. Leanne and I had the huge privilege of being invited to spend time with not only, I reckon, the most significant pastors in the country, but they'd be one of the most significant pastoral couples in the world. And I think it's not only because of the size of their church, but it's because of the health of their church. And we were there. And while we would have spent about 15 hours in meetings, and we got to spend about 5 hours just with them, talking to them, gleaning off them. And you know how many light bulb moments I had? And it was not because they were just saying stuff, because it was like aligning with the word that was already in me. They'd say, like, that totally lines up with the word. There's a light bulb moment. That's it. So I'm going to work now. I'm not, because I can come here and go, we're working on this church. We're trying to break through for the kingdom. But now I feel like I'm working with a sharpness to me. I've just had clarity. I've had the word of God confirmed inside of me. But here's the deal, it can only be confirmed when it's already inside of me. It needs to be inside of me. I need to be reading it. There needs to be a sharpness to my life. Of course, Ephesians 6, all the way down to verse 17, I think it'll be the last scripture, Ephesians 6, verse 17, you'll see it right at the bottom. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the sword there, which is the word of God. It's a sword. The word of God is what's sharp in your life. You're going, how do I get a sharpness to my life? It's the word of God. See, I know this, and I don't know that. But I know that in Christ, I can have a go. So that's how we live. I know God's word, but I don't know how the conditions will be. But I know in God, I can have a sharpness to my life. It won't be just a work that I'm doing that won't produce fruit. I can produce fruit. Henry J. Tillman said, life is something that everyone should try at least once. Try it. Have a go. Live life. Step out, live with kingdom in mind, live with eternity in mind. The third reason people don't have an I will about their life is the conditions. Like I joked around, you swear we haven't been praying for rain for 6 months. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden, guys, people bless God by taking a gap in winter. And of course, that's the winter culture in South Africa. It's a South African thing, because you go all around the country. People come to church every 2 to 3 weeks. You know what I mean? But we should be celebrating in this rainy weather. You know what's so funny about Europe? People go to church when it's snowing and raining. When the sun comes out, they can't nowhere to be found. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Any Christians? Sorry. Anyway, we're tanning. We're trying to get, and they'll tan like in 19 degrees. They'll just like, they'll grab, like guys write to me, "Brew, we've had the best summer ever." And I go look online, it's like 20. I'm like, anyway, but they got something to celebrate. But our conditions can stop us from actually living life on purpose. So it says, stop waiting. Solomon's in a way saying to us, stop waiting for the ideal conditions or ideal circumstances. Rather look for opportunities and create the right conditions. Here's the thing. You actually have an ability as a Christian to create the right conditions. Because whatever you sow, you will. If you sow bitterness, you'll reap bitterness. If you have anger, you sow it, you'll reap anger. If you sow no friendship, you'll reap loneliness. But if you're friendly, you'll reap friendship. It says God can't be mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. It's a promise from the Bible. You actually can create the conditions instead of staying focused on the conditions. A lot of people say, you know, if this happens, then I'll do this. Some people say, you know, when God opens a door up and gets me to this country, then I will serve him. But the only problem with that is wherever you go, there you are. Because it's not the place that changes you, it's who you are in the place that changes your circumstances. So you need to realize that you aren't determined by the conditions and the place you're living in. You can actually have an effect on the conditions. You just keep sowing. You just say, I'm not going to look at the wind. I'm going to look at the word and what the word says. So Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. So because you're looking at the conditions, there's no action to your walk with God. You're not sowing anything. You're actually not living. You're not sowing your time. You're not serving. So Solomon's basically saying that nothing's going to happen if you have a conditional life or if you always look at the conditions. Nothing new will happen in your life. Solomon urged the readers not to sit around waiting for the most opportune moment, but to work constantly. Be diligent, constantly. Work constantly. You don't know which day is your day of harvest, but you work it. You sow seed. Every day is an opportunity. A lot of people are reaping a season they've never wanted. How do you change it? You sow a new seed today. If you've got hate in your family, sow forgiveness and love. You'll have a new season around the corner in your family. But you need to sow it if you want to reap a new season. Prepare now for what's coming. Those virgins who run out of oil and the bridegroom comes, they miss out an opportunity. Why? Because they weren't prepared. They weren't diligent constantly. You need to be diligent. You need to be prepared because God's about to do a new thing. And God wants to do a new thing and you can actually access it. You can be paralyzed and concerned with finding the proper time. It will always be impossible if you're always looking for the perfect conditions. It's always going to be impossible. But scripture says for God, nothing is impossible. See, you need to look at, you can look at the impossible circumstances or you can look at the God who can do the impossible. He says, if you sow it, you'll reap it. New season for your relationships, for the way you do business. So what we need to do is we need to step out into this temporary place that's shakable and sow some unshakable seed. Because in the kingdom, his kingdom is unshakable. It cannot be shaken. We need to sow eternal seeds into a temporary world, but we'll always get eternal results. We'll always get heavenly results. We have to unlock ourselves. We say, you know what, I'm going to live for God. So I don't know what the temperatures, how it's going to change. I don't know with climate change. I don't know what's going to happen with the waves out there. I don't know what's going to happen with our clouds. But I can tell you what God's growing. God's growing his church. That's what the Bible says. So if you want to be part of something that's growing, God says he'll build his church to the gates of I will not prevail. God grows whatever you sow. That's a promise. God brings increase and adds to people who are faithful, the parable of the talents. If you're faithful, faithfulness is not taking care of something, it's adding to something, it's bringing increase to something. God says, you do that, I'll add to your life. It's promises, it's sure things. Those who are connected in a relationship with Jesus start to produce the fruits of the Spirit, patience, peace, love, kindness. Like, you need to sow yourself into things that are permanent, that have promises in the back end of them. You can't sow your life at the conditions, at the economy, at the climate. We need to sow our lives into heavenly stuff, into things that are permanent. What's amazing is, Solomon writes about things that aren't permanent and that we're not sure of. And then he goes straight to something that he is sure of. On the back end of saying about the clouds and he's sowing it to the wind, he goes into something that he's totally sure of. And it's very interesting. He goes straight to aging. He says, you will get old. Be guaranteed of that. Some people are just crying. When I was at this event, there was this one table and I went to sit with them. I asked them how old they all were, and they were like, we're 30. And I was like, I'm 40. I can't believe it. I was thinking. But when we get old, we still have an opportunity, I believe. But Solomon ends up sharing with us, you know, you have all these conditions that aren't permanent, but you have one thing that's for sure. You will get old. So remember God when you're young. Can I have the worship team up? I said this to the church at the beginning of the, I think it was beginning of the year, I think it was last year. I said this to the church. You will never be as young as you are today. So I don't care how old you are, you're the youngest you'll ever be today. And with that youthfulness, there is vigor still. There's strength. And you need to sow that strength. Because here's the thing. Your body is going to return to dust. If you live by your body, you will go where your body's going, to the ground. But your spirit will return to your Father in heaven. You need to sow your body so you can reap more of the spirit. But don't let your body determine how you live. Don't live by the desires of your flesh. So the reason, the fourth reason people don't have an I will about them is because youthfulness leads to forgetfulness. And when you're youthful, you think you've got all the time in the world. I used to even think this, I'm gonna give my life to Jesus when I'm 30. I used to think that. As I was 14, I used to think that. When I'm 30, I'll give my life to God. And then, because I heard one or two guys talk about giving your life to God, but I never fully understood. I used to think that, because I used to think, then I'll be old, and then I won't want to party anymore. I used to think that. Hey, who's ever thought that? Come on. I just need to party hard, and then when I'm bored, I'll give my life to Jesus, and then I'll become a boring Christian. But of course, I never had a revelation about Jesus, that he supports Liverpool, and that he's amazing. You never be as young as you are today. And in that youthfulness, your flesh might encourage you not to serve God. And so it's interesting. Solomon says, if you use remember God in your youth, the word remember there means if you live on purpose, if you're active for God in your youth, what will happen is you'll end up sowing your strength to God. And as you get older, you will grow spiritually and your anxiety will drop. But as you use your strength foolishly, anxiety might overtake you in your old age. It's quite interesting, eh? I was just reading this in some commentary studies. I'd never read it before. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. So, because how do I get over anxiety? Well, you sow your strength to God and you find your confidence. Because now you, when anxiety tries to knock on your door, you say, my treasure is already in heaven. My strength has been sowed into something eternal. Anxiety, you're temporary. Why are you trying to knock on my door? I've already secured my eternity in heaven. I've already sowed treasure in heaven. My life is on purpose. My life's not meaningless. Anxiety tries to knock on your door. Your life's meaningless. What's going to happen to you? What about that snake in that wall you're going to knock down? What about the ditch you dug outside your house? I know where the ditch is. My life is sharp. I've got the word of God in my life. My life's not just work. My life is sharp. There's a sharpness to my life. There's meaning to my life. Anxiety, leave me. You sow your strength. We need to continuously put God first. Genesis 49:27, I think it's the most interesting, one of the most interesting verses. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf, but here's the next part. I know that you're going, what's up with that? Listen to this. In the morning, he devours the prey. In the evening, he divides the plunder. In the morning, he devours the prey. In the evening, he divides the plunder. In John 9:45, can we have that up? So remember that. In the morning, you devour the prey. In the evening, divide. Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. When I read that, I always think when you're young and when you're alive, when you've got life, you're supposed to be working for the kingdom, sowing your energy into God's purposes. So when it's night, you can divide. Some people, when they're too young, and T.D. Jakes said this, he says, when you're too young and you want to divide your win too early, you'll miss out. Some people, when you're young, you've got all this time. Use it to devour. Sow into God's kingdom. Work hard in your business. Work at your marriage. Work at your kids. So when you're older, you can divide. You can sow in inheritance. You can live on purpose. But so many people who don't do it end up living in the old season, having to still try to devour. And they say, I don't have the strength. You're right. You are supposed to be spiritually strong when you're old. Your old season is spiritual strength and wisdom to divine. Your young season is physical strength to devour. Are you getting into a lull? Are you looking at the conditions? Are you saying, I'm just working hard, I want to pull out? Please, don't do it prematurely. Don't walk away from destiny. Don't walk away from purpose. This is God's time for you. What do you want God to say to you in the end of this year? Now, the reason I really want to do this series is that I feel like we're living in a promised land season. And here's what I mean by that. In the desert, there was a season where the Egyptians lived in a desert. The Israelites lived in the desert for 40 years. God provided food from heaven, manna from heaven, and they hit a rock. Moses hit a rock and water came out of it. And their whole attitude was, if God provides us food, it will go well with me. And if God provides water. But as soon as they stepped into the promised land, the manna stopped and the water stopped flowing from the rock. And God said, look what I've given to you. But you know how they accessed the promise? They worked. Some of us are saying, Andre, if God provides, then I will do this. And if God does this, then that. And if it doesn't rain, I will be at church. And if this happens, I'll give. And if that happens, that's desert thinking. Promised land is God has already provided. God has already paid the price for me. God has already made a way. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to put my hand to the plow. I'm going to work this great profitable field. I'm going to step out. I'm not going to be a victim. You can't be a victim and a victor. In the desert, they were victims. But in the promised land, they need to be victors. The reason I think that is because it says in scripture, and I'll end with this. Luke 10 verse 2. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore send out the workers into the fields. Here's the thing. The harvest is ready. Kingdom harvest is ready. We are living in the promised land. Harvest is ready. The land is ready for harvest. This community is ready for harvest. But the only way we access the harvest is if we get the workers. Our vision this year is 500 people serving in the house, more people. We already got 250 more people serving the house. 500 more workers. Because here's the thing. I know that it's not if God does it. He has already done it. He's told us the harvest is ready. The only problem is we don't have enough workers. The workers help us access the harvest. You're living in the promise. You're not a victim. You're not living in the desert. You're living in the promise. Don't be limited by the conditions. Don't be limited by tiredness. Get sharp in your strength. Don't be limited by the risk. And don't be limited by the forgetfulness of your youth. Live on purpose and take hold of the victory that Christ has already given you. Should we stand up? Just want to close your eyes, stand surrendered however you want. And this is the beginning of the journey of our I Will series. And I'm going to ask you however you want to do it. If it's going to be this week, next week, or in our fast. If when God speaks to you, I encourage you to write that down. Take it home, put it in your fridge. But you need to start to go, I will do this. I'll respond. I'm not going to be limited by the risk. I'm not going to be limited by the effort. I know there can be a sharpness to my life and my effort could be successful. I'm not going to be limited by the conditions and I'm not going to be limited by the strength I have. This strength is there to be sowed. But I'm going to see that I'm living in a season of opportunity. I'm living in a harvest season. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor in Christ. Even if the snake bites me as I knock the wall down, guess what? I'll go to be with Jesus in heaven. I already have a victory that's beyond the risk. I already have a victory that's beyond what can scare me. I have got a victory in Christ. It's permanent. I will not live by the temporary. I'm going to connect my life to the permanent victory that is Christ. I'm going to put a sharpness to my life. I'm going to build my life on what's permanent in the kingdom of heaven. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. Almost like that scripture says, you remember Christ, remember God in your youth. If you've not remembered Him in a way, you've never acknowledged that He is Jesus, the Savior of the world, I want to give you the opportunity. What I did was, the first thing I did was, I acknowledged that I needed Him. I came humbly. I said, I'm a sinner, but You're the Savior. The second thing I did, I acknowledged that Jesus is the Son of God, that He paid the price for my sin, and that He conquered the grave. The third thing I had to come to realization of was that I can only receive salvation. I can't earn it. I can't do anything to earn salvation, but I can receive it. I'm saved by grace through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast. The only thing I can boast about is what Jesus did, not what I've done. And the fourth thing, I prayed a prayer. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your heart, confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that He conquered death, He came out of the grave, you will be saved.
Thank you for joining us for today's View Church podcast. If you would like to invest in our ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving.